Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to be talking to you today about the 7-year itch. Is the 7-year itch true? Are there certain years in a marriage when couples face trouble? I've looked at the research and I'm excited to share with you about the 7-year itch and the research behind it, and then other studies that have shown different years that couples go through troubles are actually more likely for them to be at risk of divorce. So back in 1955, a popular movie on the 7-year itch was released, and the concept since then has been widely accepted that relationships go through a rough patch around the 7-year mark. In the movie, a man sends his family off on the summer vacation. He sends his wife and his children away. This actually struck a chord with me because it's very true in what happens here in the Middle East and in Asia and in many expat families all around the world. Whereas during the summer months when the children are off school, the wife and the children go away either to go back home to see their family or go on a vacation and then return back. This is what happened in the movie. The man started when he was alone to have feelings and thoughts about other women he had previously been with. And then when Marilyn Monroe moved in next door, he started trying to seduce her. And he wasn't very successful. Actually, in fact, he wasn't successful at all. But he was still carrying guilt. Guilt of having those thoughts, guilt of trying. And he was worried that his wife, when returning back, would know that he had been considering being unfaithful and thinking about being unfaithful. And just as a side note, guilt around cheating for the people that have cheated can be very common. And I'm going to be talking about how to let go of cheaters' guilt coming up in a few episodes' time. So back to the 7-year itch theory. There is some great research to support this. And basically the belief is that the risk of divorce rises after a few years of marriage and then peaks at the 7-year mark and then starts to decline again. The risk of divorce starts to decline again. So that's why the 7-year itch has been widely accepted. There is no consensus among experts as to why the 7-year itch may occur. Perhaps it's a matter of timing. After 7 years, many couples would have got through the intense busy years of having young children together, and then they may realize that they've drifted apart or no longer value the same things and want to be together anymore. Also, by the 7-year mark, many couples may have found that they're less attracted and excited by one another. The sex life may have become too routine, annoying habits may have become more and more unbearable, and they may feel like they have become so used to one another that they are more like roommates rather than lovers. I've looked into other theories behind the 7-year itch and found the work of philosopher Rudolf Steiner, who created a theory of human development that is associated with us going through 7-year cycles of change. 7-year cycles connected to astrology that we all go through. His theory suggests that humans experience large changes every 7 years. It makes sense then if a person makes changes to their life, seeks new experiences, becomes less interested in old activities, or has a shift in values and goals for their life, that this could create a distance between a couple. The marriage therefore becoming less stable and couples feeling less compatible, increasing the risk of divorce. Interesting when you can think of it. Can you identify big changes at age 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49, 56, 63 years old? I definitely do have many Campbells coming to me at 28, 25 and 42, as well as actually 49. However, I also have couples come at various different ages. What about you? Did you go through major shifts at any one of those ages? Definitely 28 and 35 for me. I see a lot of women, though, going through a lot of changes at 35. So it could be more biological than astrological. And in fact, I think I grow every 2 years. I kind of like want to have a big change, or every 3 years. How about you? Anyway, I did some more research into the 7-year itch, and I found 3 other studies that have different patterns. And I'll quickly share them with you because I think they're quite interesting. So the first one is the 4- and 7-year itch. A study in 1999 by Dr. Larry Kadek, a psychological professor from Wright State University, demonstrated the validity of both a 4-year and a 7-year itch. In his study, he concluded that couples often begin their unions with high levels of marital quality, but that it appeared to decrease twice, once rather steeply over the 4 years, and again after about 7. His study showed that couples with children experience a more rapid decline in the quality of their marriage than couples without children. Then there is the 12-year itch. A study conducted by Grant Thornton Accountancy and Consulting Group in 2010 found, contrary to the 7-year itch, that the majority of couples who divorce spend more than a decade together. They surveyed over 90 law firms. So 90 law firms they surveyed, and these 90 law firms gave them their conclusions and their evidence, who were specialising, of course, in family law and divorce. And they found that after 12 years together was the most likely time for couples to get divorced. Strange, isn't it? I wonder why 12 years. And then there is the 3-year itch. A 2012 study done by a parenting website, NetMums, looks to have gone against the widely accepted 7-year itch. The study showed that relationships where there are young children are 4.5 times more likely to split after 3 years than the traditional 7 years. So basically, if you have children, they're saying that it's more likely for you to split at 3 years than 7 years. Interesting. They had over 1,500 respondents reply to the survey, and a whopping 42% said that having children had driven them further apart from their partner. Which is really sad, isn't it? Because a lot of couples, they hope that that will really bring them together. And it's clearly time where the relationship needs restructuring. And by restructuring, I mean all it takes, on having done this with countless couples now, is realigning the focus, help supporting one another, becoming more of a team, enjoying this time of growth and change rather than fighting through it and having friction through it. Siobhan Freegard, the founder of NetMums, believes that the 3-year itch is a result of more people getting married later in life to pursue their personal and professional goals. She suggests that women react to their ticking biological clock as they rush into marriage and their children rather than taking more time to assess compatibility to get them to know their partners before getting married and having a family. So she's basically saying that she feels that because all of a sudden women fear, oh, I better have children now, that they're just jumping into marriage and children rather than taking time to date more, to get to know their partner better. So what can we learn from this? Well, whether you believe the 7-year itch has become a 3-year itch in modern times or relate more to the 7 or 12-year mark for marriage troubles, to me, this highlights 3 main things. 1, during a marriage lifetime, many individuals and couples can experience an itch, relationship doubts, which is what my next podcast is going to be focused on, how to overcome relationship doubts and what to do if you have relationship doubts. 2, it's clearly necessary to put in extra effort every day in order to sustain a happy marriage. You can't just go on a holiday, a weekend away, wait till Christmas or a birthday to make an effort. It has to be consistent. And this is especially true when couples are having children. They need to be reevaluating their relationship, strengthening their relationship to make sure that it survives. And then thirdly, if a couple doesn't prioritise their relationship, their marriage will fall by the wayside, no matter how long they've been together. So coming up next in a new podcast, I'm going to be sharing what to do if you're having relationship doubts, if you're having that itch, if you're concerned about where you're headed or feeling stuck, or you keep fantasizing about other people and leaving. So I will just end sharing a great success story of Chris and Anna. So if you're in this situation, you may want to take some notes or listen into what they did and start to think about how you can become closer. Anna and Chris have been married for 7 years. They had two little boys together and a house close to both sets of families. Before having the kids, both Anna and Chris lived in London and didn't see much of their family. They spent the weekends together, relaxing and having fun, going out. And when they moved out of the city, they began to spend less time together and more time on their new jobs, their children, and they were now spending more time seeing their family as they started a family. I took Chris and Anna individually through the 25 most important needs that people have in a relationship to be happy, to feel loved, to rebuild trust, and to become emotionally and physically connected. Chris felt unsupported in his career, like an ATM machine, and he was frustrated with the commute. He was frustrated that he was not allowed to parent the way that he wanted to parent, and he was really regretting moving out of London. Sarah felt like she had a third child picking up after Chris. He was always moody, he left things around, and she had to manage the whole house with little help or care, in her opinion. As they had less time together, they noticed that they were drifting apart, and less time to talk through things meant more arguments would occur. They would have heated conversations over the smallest things, like how the dishwasher was packed, the dishes not being stacked correctly, how to chop onions, or the tone in which one of them would say something. Because of their jam-packed life, they weren't dedicating the time to talk through their issues, and miscommunications kept happening between them. Nothing was ever resolved. Everything was just kind of brushed under the carpet. And they would avoid one another. They'd shut down from one another. Their communication was really struggling. Once they had both worked out clearly what they needed to be happy from this 25 list and created a list of what would make them happy and feel respected, we created an action plan for change. I helped them then individually to see the resentments they were still carrying from the past and to look at how their negative thinking was draining the relationship rather than helping the relationship. We cleared the resentment and we covered the communication skills to stop them both being defensive and passive aggressive. We then set in regular couple time, screen-free time, and ways to enhance their sex life. Anna and Chris noticed immediately how much their love for one another changed when they focused on making each other happy. Before, they were feeling frustrated and alone, and now they're the best they've ever been, according to them. So that's lovely. It just takes some small steps to really make huge change. If you're struggling with any of the issues that I've mentioned today, or you'd like some further support, then you can join my Facebook group, where it's a community and people post their stories and ask for support and for help. There's also a monthly live Q&A on affair recovery, and I'm going to be posting more videos and articles in there, and it's just a nice way to connect with other people who perhaps are going through the same thing you're going through. And then I have a more fun and relaxing group called Vinana, which is V-I-A-N-N-A. Sorry, I had to check that. Vinana. And it's called Vinana Dance Party, and basically it's an hour dancing once a week with meditation at the end. And inside the group, there's 40 videos of dance classes I've already created. There's 23 meditations, And it's just a really nice way to connect to people that care about living healthy, that love to dance, but they don't want to go to a nightclub and they just want to be able to dance freely from the comfort of their own home, with or without their family. So those are what the two groups are about. Love you to join and connect with me there. And if you're ready for some marriage support or relationship support, if you would like to work one-to-one with me over a period of a few months and really make some changes quickly, then you can book a free 30-minute session with me where I can discuss with you how it works and also give you support on your struggles that you're having right now in your relationship. So from my heart to yours, do join me again next week for the next podcast, which is how to overcome relationship doubts and save a marriage from divorce. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.